Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In the book of Exodus, the Lord gave Moses three specific places where he would meet with him, or where he would meet with the priests, or where he would meet with the children of Israel. Now, these places typify where the Lord will meet you and where the Lord will meet with me in our lives. Now, I know that the Lord is in you if you're saved. And so you get the idea, what do you mean the Lord is going to meet with us because he's already in us? But the Lord desires to meet with you personally in fellowship. And he does it when you meet him in type at one of these three places. Either at the mercy seat, or at the door of the tabernacle, or at the altar of incense. And as we go through this lesson today, you'll see why. First of all, the Lord desires to meet with you at the mercy seat. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 25, and notice verses 17 through 22. Exodus 25:17, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Now watch this verse. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now notice, there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims. Now here, when the Lord gives Moses this testimony, he tells him, I'm going to meet with you there, and I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel something. So it sounds like he and the Lord are going to meet there, what, maybe once? But when you go to the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 16, and we won't read the whole chapter, although the whole chapter deals with the subject of what happens with this mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. We're going to just simply read a few verses. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So he's supposed to come in, but he's not supposed to come in all the time. And now in Leviticus 16, God gives instructions on how Aaron is supposed to come in. Let's go down to verse 14. He shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So blood then is being applied from the killing of a goat and the killing of a bullock on the mercy seat. jump down now to verses 29 and 30 in Leviticus chapter 16. This shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be done but one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So what would happen then is that Aaron would go in, and a cloud would cover the mercy seat, a cloud of incense. And he would apply this blood to the mercy seat. And then he would apply this blood in such a way that he would atone for the sins of Israel, and they would be clean from all their sins before the Lord. And this is a place where God said to Moses, I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So what happened then is the priest would go in each year on the tenth day of the seventh month, which is the Day of Atonement, and he would apply the blood to the mercy seat. Now, since this is an atonement, let's look at another verse in the New Testament. We'll put it all together for you. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look at verse 10 and 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For if when you were enemies, or if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. This word atonement only appears one time in your New Testament. This is the place. And what's basically, what we're seeing here is that we needed to be reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, he atoned for our sins. And when he atoned for our sins, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14, he did it once and he did it for all. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever and sat down on the right hand of God. So no more Day of Atonement for us. No more need for the priest to go into the mercy seat, because once Jesus Christ offered this blood, what he did is he obtained that atonement for us forever. Now listen. When you are saved, you become a child of God. And by the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can have fellowship with God forever. In other words, God met with Moses at the mercy seat. Every year, the priest would go in and apply that blood to the mercy seat. And that applying of the blood at the mercy seat is an atonement, which for us in the New Testament was accomplished by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're saved, when you're reconciled to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what you have? You have an entrance. You have an entrance into God's mercy. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have an entrance into that place of fellowship with God forever. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. John said, "We that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you," that's Jesus Christ, "that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Can you believe that? "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And then verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Do you realize what happened? When Jesus Christ went to the mercy seat of the tabernacle of God and applied that blood for us, When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have an opening now where God can meet with us in fellowship and we can meet with God in fellowship. See, here's the significance. If you're not saved, if you are a person who is religious, you go to church, you go to church on Sunday and you take communion, you've been baptized, but you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, you're not a child of God. If you're not saved, then you know what? You are denied this kind of meeting with God where you have fellowship with Him until you're saved. Until then, your efforts to meet with God are just vain religious pursuits. That's right. I remember as a young man, I desired to have fellowship with God. I really did. And I went to church. I was an altar boy. I had been baptized. I went to communion. I even wanted to become a priest. But all of that was just a vain religious pursuit to meet with God because I was not saved. The blood that Jesus Christ shed had not been applied to me because I had not, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ. You see, it's so hard to explain to religious people because what you're doing, everything in your salvation depends on you. When you ask a religious person, are you saved? They say yes, and I say why? And they say because I've been a good person, because I go to church, because I've kept the commandments. You see, all of that is on you. And what we're talking about here is something that's on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did something for you, and if you will receive what He did for you, then you'll be a child of God. And then you can meet with God. And then you can have fellowship with God every day, from now on forever. But you've got to be saved. You've got to have had the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your sin. We say, how do I do that? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith in what He's already done for you at Calvary on the blood that He shed for you, not the sacrifices that you offer when you go to church every Sunday. Not on the things you do that are good, but what He did that was good, that He's already done for you. And you receive that. And then it opens the way for you to have fellowship with God. That's where you meet with God for the first time in your life at the mercy seat in type where the blood of atonement has been applied for your sins. Oh, and that meeting takes place and you are never the same. Here's the next place at the door of the tabernacle. Turn to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29, look at verses 42 and 43. Exodus chapter 29, verses 42 and 43. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto thee, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now, if you know what's going on outside of the tabernacle, there's a brazen altar, 5 cubits wide, 5 cubits long, 3 cubits high, and their sacrifices are offered. Between that altar and the tabernacle door is the brazen laver where there's water. And the priests wash their hands and their feet there, and then they offer these sacrifices on the altar of burnt sacrifice. And when they offer these burnt offerings, God says, I will meet you. I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. You see, this place of offering the burnt sacrifices is a place of sacrifice. And the Lord said, when you make that sacrifice, I'll meet with you. All right, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and notice there is a place of sacrifice in your life and in mine. Romans chapter 12, look at verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what you need to do and what I need to do after we're saved? Okay, you get saved. That's the mercy seat. That's the atonement. And the Lord meets with you. You begin an opportunity of fellowship with the Lord. But somewhere along the way, could be right around the time you get saved, could be years later, you realize that you must surrender your life to God. You offer your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord in surrender to His will. And when you do that, when we surrender to the Lord meets with us. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of different Christians, and many Christians will testify of a time in their lives where they surrendered. And at that point, their walk with God changed. Their walk with God has been much better since that time. I call this time of surrender, a head-on collision with God. And boy, what a meeting it is. You see, when you get saved, you're saved. When you get saved, you're a child of God. When you get saved, you're going to heaven. But somewhere along the way, it becomes clear that, really clear, that your life is no longer your own. You're bought with a price. God wants everything. He wants a total, consecrated sacrifice of your life to Him. He wants it all. Your mind, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your heart, your spirit, your body. Because He has a plan for your life. He wants to do something. It's called the will of God. And He can't do it as long as you have a will and He has a will. When you have your will, what your aspirations are, what your ambitions are, what you desire, then you're always trying to force God into your plans. You're praying, God, make this happen in my life. God, do this for me. You know, God, I want this. And so you're constantly approaching the throne of grace so that you can get something from God, so that God can do something for you, so that God can bless your plans. Lots of Christians live like that. But when there comes a time in a Christian's life where he realizes, whoa, wait a minute, this life is not about me jamming God into my plans. My life is not about me trying to force God into my plans. My life is about me finding out what it is that God wants me to do and me lining up with God. And that's called surrender. That's where you surrender your mind and you surrender your heart and you surrender your spirit and you surrender your body, your life to God. It's where you go to the cross and you know, like a disciple, take up your cross and deny yourself and live for Him. And I call it a head-on collision with God, because what happens is you've been running your own deal, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, you meet God along this path, and it's like, boom, God says, I don't want to keep running errands for you. I don't want to keep having to be squeezed into your plans. I want you to get out of the car. I want you to let me into the driver's seat. And as one preacher preached, I don't even want you in the passenger seat. I don't even want you in the back seat. I want you in the trunk. I'll drive the car. I'll get this thing where I want it to go. And I'll get done through you what I want to get done. That's a place of surrender. And it's a head-on collision, because your will and God's will finally meet. The Bible calls it the cross. And man, what a meeting it is, because you realize when you surrender, it's scary and it doesn't seem to be working out right. But after a while, you realize the fellowship you're having with God is far greater than any fellowship you have enjoyed with Him the entire time you've been saved. And He may lead you to mountaintops, and He may lead you through valleys, and He may lead you into deep water, and He may lead you into troublesome seas. But I'm going to tell you, the joy you have of fellowship and the contentment you find and comfort in the Spirit of God is not like anything you could possibly experience on this side of glory. And it comes from surrender. And then there's another place. It's the altar of incense. The altar of incense. Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 7 describe the altar of incense. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood, shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length, a cubit the breadth, four square shall it be, two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof, round about, the horns thereof. Thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And then he talks a little bit more about it, and then he says down here in verse 6, and thou shalt put it before the veil. So it's inside the holy place, before the most holy place. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony. Watch it. Where I will meet with thee, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. Do you see that? So what would happen is the altar of sacrifice is outside. You make that sacrifice of yourself, a living sacrifice. You walk inside now. You're in the holy place. There's a veil separating you and the mercy seat. We don't see God. And out in front of you is this altar of incense. And on the right side of you is the table of showbread. On the left side of you is the candlestick. That altar of incense pictures prayer. It pictures prayer. Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 2, the Bible says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Look at that. And let my prayer be set before thee as incense. We see it again in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Oh, this is something. This is that daily prayer meeting with God. This altar is in the holy place. There's the candlestick on the left, the table of showbread on the right. That's light from olive oil that's burning in the lamps, and bread that's on the table of showbread. These picture the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the light of the world and the bread of life. We commune with them in the words of God. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you arise in the morning, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When you arise in the morning and pray and read your Bible, God meets with you there. Do you understand? The mercy seat is where you find your initial fellowship and your fellowship forever with God. This door of the tabernacle is where you make a surrender of your life to God, and there's a meeting with the Lord. And then you have this altar of incense where the Lord said, I will meet with thee there. And every morning, just like Aaron burned sweet incense every morning, you get on your knees before God and pray. You get in your Bible and read, and you're having communion with God Almighty. Fellowship. God meets with you there. And what he does when he meets with you, you open the Bible and you read it and you say, I don't always get all this, but you know what you get? You get what the Holy Spirit gives you by inspiration. He'll give you something every day. And you get on your knees and you pray, or you walk and pray, or you sit and pray, however your posture of prayer. Some people are on their face before God. Some walk a path. Some kneel. But whatever it is, you're having communion with God, and God meets with you. I'm telling you, when you make a regular habit of this, it is an amazing thing, but you and God are in communion. You're the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, are all there. And he counsels with you, and he brings back things to your remembrance that you need to know, and he answers your prayers, and he fellowships with you, and you rejoice, and he rejoices, and you sort out the details of your life, and God just gets in the middle of everything you do. You know why some people don't enjoy fellowship with God? They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They only pray in times of desperation, and they don't even know when it comes to reading the Bible. They just let it fall open wherever and read a passage, if they read that much. They read a devotional book with has two or three scriptures in it, and that's all they read. And so consequently, there's so little communion with God. You need to spend some time with the Lord. You need to get to know Him, and He knows you already, but He begins to commune with you about the things He knows about you so that your life can improve. Do you understand? This is that regular meeting of fellowship with God. The Lord desires to meet with you. So what do you say, what do I do, preacher? Well, if you're not saved, you get saved. You say, well, I'm not sure that I understand what all that means. Okay, when the broadcast is over, you hear one of our associates giving you information about the church. Listen to that information. And you'll get our web address. You can go there, and there's one section on that web address called Eternal Life. You'll see it under teaching and preaching. Hit that video and watch it. It's, what, 15 minutes. It'll explain to you perfectly how to be saved. You say, well, I don't want to watch a video. I don't want to read it. Well, then pick up the phone. Our telephone number is given to you at the end of the broadcast. Pick up the phone and call us. I'll answer, or one of our associates will answer and say, listen, I was listening to the radio broadcast, and the preacher said something about getting saved so I could have fellowship with God, and I don't know if I'm saved or not, or I'm not saved, I need to be saved. Good. We'll sit down with you. You can either meet us at the office or open the Bible, and we'll walk you through verse by verse so you can see for yourself how to be saved, and then you can have fellowship with God forever. Get saved. And then after you get saved, and you realize God has a plan for your life, surrender your life to Christ. Absolutely. And tell Him, look, God, I am through. I take my hands off the reins of this life. We are not going my way anymore. We're going your way. I will not drive this life. You drive it. I'm going where you. I'm yielding to you. And then get on your knees and in that Bible every single day, being taught by the Spirit of God. And when you do this, God will meet with you when you get saved at His mercy seat. He will meet with you when you surrender your life, like at the altar of sacrifice. And He will meet with you daily as at the altar of incense when you order your life in the words of God and in prayer. God wants to meet with you and have fellowship with you. Have fellowship with Him. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.